When we were in Uganda just back in July, one of the greatest honors of my life was when we were given a VIP breakfast at the nicest hotel, the Serena, in Kampala, Uganda. And the host of that gathering, who had invited 50 of the top cabinet members of Uganda, was a man that we'd had to file a lawsuit on, he and his partner. And at that time, they did their best to get the station back. We were in a 50-50 partnership. Never get in that. I learned that the hard way, praise God. But we did the right thing. God spoke to my heart. We bought them out. And no one could say we stole the station. No one could say we didn't do the right thing. And one of the vehicles, 4x4 Mitsubishi, and the other, they got blessed. Both sides got blessed. Just a miracle. And there's some people that helped us right there at the last minute, and the people in this room today that were contributing factors also. But he went on for 15 minutes on a teleprompter. And I don't know where he got the bio, but I think he knew everything since I was born. But after we bought them out, instead of suing them and making life real difficult for them at that time, and we've been running that station now. We own the station. It's been running 16 years this July. 24 hours a day, 50,000-watt station, preaching, teaching, singing the gospel of Christ. It's a modern-day mission miracle. It's not a showcase thing. It's get the gospel out. But he just went over and over again. He said, we're here to honor Dr. Bob Nichols. He said he's been married 57 years to the same wife. And he said he's been pastoring his church now of course, that was in July this year, 57 years. Well, it'll be, 57. Of course, we're rolling 58 this month. 48, I'm sorry. You know where I'm going. The thing that seemed to be such a fascinating, he said, he's a man that told the truth when he didn't have to. He's a man that showed grace when he didn't have to. He's a man that extended mercy when it was not deserved. And we're here to honor him today. You know, if you just hang out long enough and do the right thing, God will see you through. And it was one of the most humbling experiences of my life. I mean, it was no small gathering. They were all dressed better than we were. I mean, this is a sharp crowd there in Uganda of the top cabinet members. And then a letter from the president. We've spent time with the president saying thank you for the contributions you've made to our nation. I receive phone calls quite often, like probably I made when I was much younger, and still fire off one or two every once in a while. What do I do now? Which way do I go now? I'm facing this. This has happened. Somebody I've known all my life has gone south, you know, on the church or on, you know. And things change. If you live long enough, you're going to see some things change. And you learn to deal with the leaves. That's those that leave. And you learn to deal with a lot of things God's way. And if you don't learn it, it'll make you crusty and sour and bitter and grumpy and all that stuff. Just a few days ago, I had a very intense phone conversation with a very discouraged pastor. And he asked me that question. And I said, well, here's some, and fortunately, I started writing them down. Here's some Bible basics to finish strong. Amen. And so they're just one words as I go through, so you might want to write them down, and that's why we have a bulletin that has a little space that you can write on. How can you finish? I want to finish right. I want to finish strong. I want to do what God's called me to do. And it's more important to finish than it is to start. You know, we're great on starts, but it's more important to finish than it is to start. And the first one that I would call your attention that I shared was from Mark, the 11th chapter, verse 22. Faith. Have faith in God. How do you put that many roofs on churches in Mexico? By faith in God. Faith and works, we understand that, but I mean, you've got to believe you can do that. There's people that don't believe you can do anything in Mexico, or you're very limited, but you don't know that, so you just keep doing that. Praise God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 6, on the line of faith, said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And I could go to many other portions of God's Word where we're admonished to live in faith. You know, it always fascinates me as we go to Israel. We were there again just a few days ago, really. A month or 6 weeks, whatever it was. But to look at those 2,000-year-old olive trees, 2,000 years old. They're gnarled. They're really not a pretty thing, except when you look at them, you just want to shout, faithful, faithful, faithful. But you know what? They've had good pruning and good care. And in all the change of everything that's happened over this period of time, somebody cared about those olive trees. Someone took care of them. Someone properly pruned them. And with whatever changes were going on in politics and the nation and all the change of guard that they were going through, those olive trees have endured 2,000 years. And you know, some believers can't endure 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. Folks, I'm in this for the long haul. Faith in God. Have faith in your God-called ministry. What has God called you to do? That's what it's all about. You don't measure anything on the best day or the worst day. What has God called you to do? And even when one goes home, you know, this last week we faced something that touched all of our hearts very deeply. I looked at the choir. I don't think I saw one dry eye in the choir as they sang in that memorial service because they cared. But as much as we all loved and cared and people prayed, a brother went home to be with the Lord, 51, 52 years of age. That's going to happen. You live long enough, you're going to see that. Mike Magnuson, 51 years of age, a quiet giant, one of the most valuable men I've ever known in the kingdom of God, went on to be with the Lord in spite of everything. But you know, we can't let that get us down. We've got to rise up and say, hey, give me that cross you were carrying. We got to finish. Faith in God. We've got to believe that we're doing what God called us to do. Now, there's another F, and that's fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 said that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Whether we'll all admit it or not, we all face fear every week. And if you don't understand that, that's probably why you're in such confusion. Fear is a spirit, and it's not the Spirit of God. And we're talking about revival now. Satan will do everything in the world to get you to operate in fear, to think in fear, to withhold in fear, to do something strange or goofy or off track because you got into fear. Fear is a spirit. You feel a headache coming on. Thank God I haven't had one in a long time. I just got tired of that a few years ago. But I'm still telling you, you can feel a headache coming on and you can sense fear coming on. It affects your body. It affects your blood pressure. It affects everything in your body. And if you're a spiritual leader, it will affect your faith. Because you're either going to believe in what God has said or you're going to believe in what Satan has said. Both are on record. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The thief hath come but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. Oh, God just needed another rose in his garden. Oh, we don't teach that stuff here. Uh-uh. God's not a child abuser. God doesn't go around making life hard for the believer. Yeah, our faith is tested, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus is going to have some opposition and some tests. But praise God, we don't quit on our first day, and we don't quit on our worst day. Fear. Don't live by fear. Don't operate in fear. Don't run your church in fear. Don't run your field ministry in fear. Fear not. Fear not. It's all through the Word of God, Old Testament, New Testament. Don't be afraid. Fear not. You know, this is so simple, it just go right over your head if you don't watch it. I'm going to tell you, the last few days I have to deal with fear all the time. You'd think you'd get over it and never have to face that again. I'm telling you, even though you're a born-again, spirit-filled believer, you'll face some fear. And it's up to you what you do with it, how long it stays, and how devastating its results may be, or whether you catch that thing and nip it in the bud and say, no, no, that's not what God says. That's not what the promise of God says. No. I like what Pastor Greg Moore, he said, when the devil comes, say, no. No, what's the other thing you say? Stop it. That's what you tell your kids. Stop it. But in the name of Jesus, just turn to old Diablo and say, stop it. Stop it. Fear. No fear here. No fear here. Well, everybody in our family, you've heard those stories. I've heard those stories. A tennis pro was in our church years ago, and every man in his family at age 54 had a heart attack. And he kept telling me, well, I guess I'll be the next. And he was a faith man, except in that era. He said, you know, all it runs in our family. Well, it happened to him at age 54. He finished playing tennis with his heart doctor and had a heart attack. Scared the fire out of his heart doctor. He said, here he's playing tennis with me, and he has a heart attack. One of the leading heart doctors in this area. Oh, my. Well, he got over that, and he stopped saying that. If you don't want it, don't say it. If you don't want it, don't say it. Don't say it. Say what God says. God says we win. There he goes again. You're mighty right. That's what keeps me going. Praise God. Number three is forgiveness. A must. Mark 11, 25, 26, in the Lord's Prayer also, that if we do not forgive, God cannot forgive us. Somebody's got a problem there. I've run into some things this last year that shocked the fire out of me. People, y'all say, man, pray in tongues, have a smile on their face, but they refuse to forgive. And then I begin to scratch my head. Well, I think of how many times this church has forgiven them. And how many times we've met, you know, and there were one or two things that were pretty good sized forgivenesses that in the average church that wouldn't fly. But because there's a pastor of mercy and grace here, we did. We took care of that and went on down the road. You know, folks, you point that finger out, you got three coming back. And that doesn't make anything right that everybody does. But I'm telling you, we better be careful about judgment and about lack of mercy. And well, they did so and well, you've done so and so, and I've done so and so. We've all messed up. We've all done something stupid many, many times over. Thank God, God's had mercy and grace on me. I look back on times that financially and every other way, mistakes that you made at the moment, either because you were careless or you just didn't seek God. But God's mercy, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. God has brought us through the rough places. Been so gracious and so kind to us. Forgiveness. I want to just throw this out today. You can hickam a shy, talk in tongues all you want to. You can cast out devils. You can tell me how great your ministry is. But if you don't forgive and walk in forgiveness, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing but a body going to heaven. And I heard Dr. Charles Stanley say something, you know, these Baptists, they have a way of knocking out a truth. They're knocking a ball out of the park once in a while. And I heard him the other day, and he said, the way you live on earth is going to determine the level you live in heaven. Didn't say you wouldn't get there, but there's going to be different levels. And I'm still thinking about that, but I think that's right on. You know, if you're a toot here on earth, it doesn't change when you draw your last breath. You go to heaven, but it depends on the level. I'm on to something. I'm just letting it soak here for a moment. You say, well, I'm just that way. Don't you think it's about time to change? There's some ways I've changed in the last few years. I've judged myself. You judge yourself, you won't be judged. Don't look in the mirror and sing how great I am. Look in the mirror and say, I'm a product of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for all these years in the ministry. I don't have to be in the ministry. I choose to be in the ministry. Forgiveness, it's a must. If you can't take hard knocks, get out of the ministry today. Amen. Another word, fight. Fight. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. You say, I thought it was believing. Yeah, it's believing, but there's a fight of faith. There's a day you don't feel like. You know, some of the greatest victories I've had in preaching, I didn't even feel like coming to church that morning. My body, it's not always that way, but did you ever just wake up and your body didn't want to wake up? Uh-huh. And it's Sunday and you say, well, aren't you going to get ready? Well, I don't know if I, well, after all, you are the pastor and you're 45 years old, you know, you need to go to church today. That's what a mother told her son, according to a story a number of years ago. Fight! Fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. We're in Israel. I remember we were on Masada, and of course that was that's a moving place. They graduate all their military up on Masada, where all that history took place. And someone spoke up and said, oh, they were so brave. They were so brave to the end. Of course, what happened? They either jumped off or killed themselves or did so. I mean, they fought to a certain point, but they gave up. And that tour guide said, no! I mean, he got adamant. He said, no, they were not brave. They were cowards. He said, we don't quit. Israelis don't quit. We fight to the end. We fight to the end. I think I mentioned it Wednesday night, old Uncle Bud Robison, I think he was Methodist, Spirit-filled Methodist years gone by. He said, as long as I got hands and knuckles, I'm going to fight the devil. As long as I have teeth, I'm going to bite the devil. And when I lose my teeth, I'm going to gum him. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. Fight the good fight of faith. And I want to say, you know, God may have you here for a few days to get your second wind, to go back and hit it like you've never hit it before. Praise God. Another one, it's finish, finish. Paul said, I have finished my course. Jesus said, it is finished. He didn't quit. Thank God he didn't quit. Thank God he didn't quit in Pilate's judgment hall. Thank God he didn't quit as the stripes were coming upon his body. Thank God he didn't quit before he got to the cross or when he got to the cross. And the soldier said, if you're the Son of God, come down. Because he was the Son of God, he did not come down. Finish. Oh God, I want to finish God's way. I want to finish God's way. I love Brother Meyer's spirit. That's why I like to get up close to him. He said, I know I'm going, but don't push. Don't hurry it up. Finish. Well, if I can just make it in. No, Jesus said it is finished. Praise God. You know, there's another thing here, and that's the family of unity. You know, Lot's family was not united in agreement. I'd never thought, this is a totally thought different thought than I've ever thought. I mean, I knew it. I was aware of it. But you know, that righteous man, Lot, I know he lived in the wrong neighborhood, but that righteous man Lot is what God called him. But you know, his family, his kids, and his wife weren't on the same page with Lot. And as they left the city of the cities, she had to go shopping one more time. And as she turned, which God, nothing wrong with turning, but she turned when God says don't turn. When God says don't turn, don't turn. When God says don't do it, don't do it. When God says stop, stop. There's a reason for that. Jesus said it is finished. Paul said it is finished. And so to finish is more important than to start. But this family of unity, you know, this is so simple that the Spirit of God's going to have to reveal my utter total simplicity at this point. If we're in agreement, that's why it's so important in the church. You know, some people have this mentality, well, this faction, that faction, whatever. There's a God called in our way of doing things. There's a God called pastor. And we don't call everybody pastor. I've been in churches where they call the janitor pastor. That's so, you know, I mean, if that's their conviction, fine. But to me, the pastor is a very reverent title. It's a very reverent title. And God calls pastors. And we will give an account of being the shepherds under the great shepherd of our work. Amen. And here's the thing that I know. As long as we're in agreement, there's a time I had a staff in total rebellion downtown. We were about to lose that building. And I mean, all kind of rumors were flying. And we had five different staff members. All of them are going to go off and start something of their own. And I told one of them, I said, if you can get two seasoned men of God or women of God to agree with you, well, then we'll talk further. Well, they went to Ken Copeland's mother, talked to her, and boy, she's a fiery little Indian woman, you know. Vanetta Copeland was a strong woman. She and my mother used to pray together years ago. And she heard the story. She said, "You will not do that." She said, "That's wrong. That man's done nothing but bless you. He's going through a hard time. Church going through a hard time." Said, "You lift up his hands. You will not." Well, I mean, she got on him like she got him. He told me about it later on. Man told me. There's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And I'll tell you, we used to sing it best in Sunday school. If we all pull together, how happy we'll be. For your work is my work and God's work is our work. If we all pull together, how happy we'll be. Hallelujah. Pastoring is a very diversified job. But the eyes of the pastor are to see around the ministry and oversee the ministry. And that's the calling of a pastor. Amen. That's the calling of a pastor. And I just want to challenge all of us. Let's be in agreement this week. You know, I know back in 93, boy, there were a lot of opinions flying around. But you know, the people that got in agreement, I saw God literally change their lives, their marriage. I just saw God do such awesome things. And I want to just say to us, let's stay in agreement. I know you're in a basic agreement or you wouldn't be here. But remember, nothing can stop us if we'll stay in agreement. Amen. Amen. Kenneth Hagin said, "The man or the woman that's used of God is quick to receive instruction and quick to change." Quick to receive it, quick to change. It's very important. Amen. Praise God. Don't get so quiet on me now. I'm ministering some things. I've been doing this a few years. I know some things. Praise God. If we'll stay united, I think of time after time. Here just a few days ago, I said, "Joe, I need your agreement, honey. I need you to stand with me." We joined hands and we prayed, and I saw God move, and I saw some things move around. You know, it's good to have faith partners, isn't it? And that's why God gave us the theme we have, "All together in one accord." They were in the upper room. Can you imagine 120 people all being like-minded in the same place in one accord? Miracle of miracles. Amen. But there came a time when they were in one place, one accord, united, And suddenly, the fire of God, the power of God, the Pentecost of God was poured out. Praise God. You know, you need to be very careful who you fasten yourself to. That's another F. Fasten yourself to friends and ministries of faith. Amen. Get hooked up with somebody that really believes God. Amen. Someone that will stand with you. It doesn't mean that we're right in everything we say or do, but if certain corrections need, someone be honest with you in that. But I mean, basically, that if we're on the right track, we stand together. We stand together. And if we stand together, hell can't stop us. You know, I reread this last week, Genesis 11, Tower of Babel. That's a scary chapter. And I don't think any of us really understand the ramifications of Genesis 11, because they purposed in their heart they were going to heaven their way. And they were going to build a tower up to God, and nobody was going to stop them. And they said, we will build brick, and we will, you know, they knew how to build. Ancients were not idiots at all. They're very intelligent people. And they said, we will build the right kind of brick, and we'll build this tower, and we'll go up to God. Like they were going to go up and tell God what to do. And God saw it to be such a, you know, you can laugh about that. You say, well, how in the world could they do that? They weren't astronauts. I don't know. Don't ask me. All I know is God Almighty said the power of agreement is so strong that something very terrible is going to happen if I don't stop it. And that's when God said, stop it. And that's when God confused the languages and there was a great turning. You know, I'll tell you, when God steps in, you all you say, yes, sir. Praise God. So what I want to challenge all of us this morning, whether you're just here for this morning as a guest or you're here for this week or for the rest of your life, be sure you have good faith friends. Amen. Praise God. And when everything seems to come against you, just lean heavy on your faith friends. They're good people. They love you for the right reasons. Hallelujah. And I want to just, if I could just shout it and lock in here for the next 5 or 10 minutes. Nothing is impossible if you'll only believe. Nothing is impossible if you'll only believe. Oh, it's so important for husbands and wives to get in and stay in agreement. It's important for pastors and churches and staff. Get in agreement. Stay in agreement. Stay in agreement and expect to see the goodness of God in the land. Oh, hallelujah. Folks, there's a job to be done. There's a world that needs Jesus. We have a nation that needs Jesus. There are other nations represented here that need Jesus. And nothing's going to change it. Nothing's going to change it. Our doctrine's not going to change it. Our good works is not going to change it. Even our churches. I've found out you can't change people. Only the Spirit of God can change people when they're willing to be changed. I've spent 2 or 3 hours trying logic, godly logic, scriptural logic. Well, the Bible says this, and they got a but for everything. But. And you can spend all day and all week, and until someone's heart is tenderized by the power of the Holy Ghost, you're spinning your wheels, you're wasting your time. But oh, when we're willing to change, God can change us in a moment and get our miracle on the way. Hallelujah. Oh, God can change us in a minute. Sometimes it's just a little heart change that we need. Sometimes a little heart change we need. I'll tell you, one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen is Pastor Moore and his wife. I'll tell you, what I saw those people go through, I got mad. I was trying to find out the mafia's number. God, these are our friends. God! But you know what? They took the high road. You listen to Pastor. I've lived a little while. You never go wrong when you take the high road according to the Word of God. There's a time to deal with things, and yes, absolutely. I don't sidestep that. But you know, they took the high road. They loved, they forgave, and it got worse by the day. But just as sure as it got worse, it got better until they got the double. And God even appreciates the fact that Brother Greg loves to play golf. God loves golfers. And God Gave him a home on a golf course up in Colorado Springs. Now, isn't God unique? He's not a child abuser. He didn't put you in a little shack up the mountain there without an outhouse. He gave you a lovely place right there on the golf course because you took the high road and you kept a good spirit and you forgave. And I'll be honest with you, no one was any more amazed than I was. And all I could do is say, God, you're a great God. I mean, when the world does you wrong, don't sing a done me wrong song. Sing praise God from whom all blessings flow. Just say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Nay, in all of these things. I was kind of joking, but I was kind of serious there too, really. I mean, this couple, if I've ever seen it walked out, faithed out, and proven out, I've seen the goodness of God in your lives. And you're an example. God bless you. And look at you today. You're in much better shape than you were back then. Hallelujah. Woo, the Ur of Chaldees wasn't where God wanted you to stay. Hallelujah. I am suspicious of anyone that gets to live in Colorado and be in the ministry, though. I always have to go home to Texas, you know. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our pathway. And Lord, I've often said, you know, an airplane has a flight box, a little black box somewhere on board, which records all the things that happen on an airplane. I talked to the man that recovered the flight box from that spacecraft that blew up. I believe the astronaut's name was Cousins. He discovered the man's Bible and discovered he was with a posse that discovered the Bible and discovered the black box. If you could take that little black box out of a preacher, I'm using that as an illustration. If you could take why we do what we do out of us, we're helpless. Just like Samson. He lost his strength. He lost his power. But when the anointing of God was upon him, he could lift up the gates of the city and go uphill with them. Nothing was impossible. Child of God, listen to me today. There's impossibilities that are being faced all over this room today. But I'm here to tell you nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah. Nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, for a 2-year period of time, Brother Chisholm couldn't leave town. He had to drive the front end loader, drive the dump truck. He was up working in the rafters with one of those hydraulic things. He worked as hard as I've ever seen any construction worker work. But that new church was built. And now just look at the harvest of souls that God's given you. There's dry days, there's dull days, there's days you wonder, am I just getting any traction at all? But just hold steady in faith. Don't let Satan get you off track. Don't let him make you stop. It's time to shout the victory. I said it's time to shout the victory. I want every minister that is, you know, you've come for revival now. Not just our folks here at home, but I mean, you've come for revival now. I want you to come and just stand in this front area, and I'm going to pray for you. Just come.